Also appointed to be wrote for this, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, but the fourth Sunday is taken from the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The extra Sunday is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, and it is as follows. Brethren, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves. But he was asleep. So his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing that I wish to bring to your attention this morning is that following Mass this morning, we will have our usual in-house picnic. And of course, everybody is welcome. And should anybody not have brought anything, that's fine. You come anyway and eat what there is that we have brought to for us to enjoy today. I did not include in this week's bulletin for you all the usual listing of the Advent readings, but the first Sunday of Advent is this Sunday, this year, the first Sunday of December, so therefore it will appear in that bulletin for the readings of Advent. We will speak of these when we come to them next month. In the back of the church, there are some little stacks of postal cards. Use them up. Use them and send them out to your friends, and speak of our monastery, and speak of vocation as far as you know where to talk vocation. Also, you will find little holy cards of St. Teresa, and we must try to spread devotion to the little flower as much as we can. And you will find also a little prayer card concerning vocations, and you see the picture of St. Benedict on it. Take these and use them to your own advantage and to the advantage of the effort that we are undergoing. Also, in the back of the church, you will find a little thing on a little folder on how to go to confession. Make use of this and try to determine the correct way of going to confession and the correct way of presenting your sins to the priest. It is certainly not at all necessary in going to confession that we go into, you know, lengthy detail as to why this happened and why that happened, but rather that we just simply make a listing and briefly as we can and present these thoughts to the priest. Let us, above all things, avoid the heavy burden of literalism. literalism is killing. It's choking, and it's withering. It withers our religion. And literalism is one of the great problems that we today are faced in our own groupings, wherever we're located, in a traditional Roman Catholicism, which has actually become defective Catholicism. And that we place emphasis in the wrong things, in the wrong ways, and with the wrong interpretation. Let us be very, very careful about that. And let us go to confession, as we know we should, and we leave some things to Almighty God. Each month, we are presented in our little bulletins that we have the short discourses on the spiritual life. In too many of our areas, it is assumed, it seems, that the spiritual life depends on the promotion of somebody's idea of a program. And we have the various and sundry and limit on beyond number of causes that we seem to attach ourselves to and seem to make these as the reason behind our being traditional. This has nothing to do with being a traditional Roman Catholic. When we look around, let us ask ourselves a question. Is my attachment to that particular cause, a program which I am promoting? For the moment, let's ask the question, what has that got to do with the advancement of the spiritual health of my soul? Is my soul, or does my soul become healthier because I am promoting this cause and that cause and the other cause? Why I am defending this, that, or the other? Is my soul healthier because of that? Or do I find myself, while I'm in the process of promoting whatever it is I'm promoting, do I find myself still guilty of the same things that I've always been guilty of? Do I find myself still not calling to mind, not being aware of the things that I need to correct? Or do I travel right into from one thing incorrect to another thing incorrect? If I find myself still unaware of my faults, if I find myself still not curbing my faults and finding the number going down at the end of a month or a year or 2 years or 3 years, then I need to go back and check things out. And our bulletins, as you know, are not using their the valuable time to defend this cause as opposed to that cause, and the other cause as opposed to another cause, and this one calling that one a name, or that one calling this one a name, or whatever, whatever. We don't have time for that kind of foolishness. And people's souls are warped permanently in many cases by that kind of mentality. Our bulletins are developed in such a way that we try to work at the spiritual health of our souls, that we can see more clearly that which we have to attend to. You know yourselves, in washing clothes, we have to, in our process of cleaning the clothes, that the cleaner they get, the more noticeable are the little specks, the little dinges that remain behind. That's what we have to work on, that we have to clean our souls in such a way that we will notice the specks that have to be attended to. If we fail to do this, we have failed to do what we need to do to save our souls. Almighty God is not going to ask us, were you attached to this cause? Did you promote that program or the other thing? He is only interested in one thing. Did you work to become a saint? And the answer has to be a yes or a no. Without all kinds of dialogue, well, I tried to save your church. I tried to stop this problem in the church. I tried to get that straight in the church. I tried to defend. I wrote this article, and I wrote that article, and I wrote the other article, and I'm just against all these people that are going around sinning all over the world. That's not for the work that Almighty God has intended for us. He is going to, as our epistle today brought out to us, what is the level of our love for our neighbor? What do we do to promote the love of the neighbor? What do we do to promote the salvation of our neighbor? Our example, our prayer, our humility. These are the things, our obedience, our poverty. These are the things that we must promote within our own souls in order to put aside the vanities of the world. How worldly are we? And are we really and truly sincere when we say we are not a worldly people? If we're not a worldly people, to what degree then do we involve ourselves in the creature comforts and those things that are promoted by the world as today being essential to one's well-being? What is the only well-being that we must be particularly and only interested in? That's the well-being of our immortal souls. All other things do not pertain to that. And we must know, for example, in the rearing of our children. We complain about how terrible the presentation of things are to the formation of our little children. But how guilty are we of providing our little children with all of the things that are hurtful to their young minds? It's just like we give our children constant lectures about the dangers of fire, that fire can do this and fire can do that, and fire can do the other thing. But why do we furnish our children with matches? If we are really sincere in teaching our children the dangers of fire, we shouldn't be furnishing them with matches to play with, should we? But we do. So then, who is ultimately at fault? The child, or the one who furnishes the child with the matches? Who is going to have to answer for that? So my beloved people, the next time we meet, it'll be Advent. Advent is not necessarily a time of doing works of penance and penance and penance. We relegate these two periods of Advent and Lent to mortification times. Of course they are mortification times. But it's not in the quantity of mortification that I perform that good is going to come from it. Rather, these should be times of me to take stock and to look into myself and sincerely see what is wrong with the foundation upon which I am trying to build my spiritual life. These are the times of Lent and Advent. And Advent must be looked upon as a time for correction, more so than at other times of the year, together with Lent, of course. So let us look at things as they should be looked upon. Let us put aside self-serving interests. Let us put aside self-serving spirituality. Let us think our spirituality must be aimed at the welfare, at the interests of God, rather than my own personal comforts and my own personal emotions. So, as we enter in this period of time, let us go into it correctly and as we should. Of course, never avoiding prayer in all instances. So God bless you and keep you and bring you to your happy conclusion in life, my beloved people.